Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
A lot of people say the Bengals are lucky to have won, right? As I said when the season started, guys, I have a feeling Joe Burrow, we're going to be saying that a lot throughout his career. Said this going into the season. We're going to say a lot. He's lucky. He's going to get lucky a lot, it seems to me. In other words, at a certain point, you go, maybe it's.
It goes back
more
to that same
luck.
Question I asked. It was a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about the difference between Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence. And, like, nobody questions the talent level because Justin Herbert's talent, I think, succeeds 95% of the quarterback, maybe 99% of the quarterbacks.
Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow are more talented, right?
Yeah. But who will win more in time? Like, who has more of that moxie down the stretch that you trust more? And me, I started to lean towards Trevor Lawrence.
I can see why. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Guys, look, if not for a fumble recovery as Tyler Huntley tries to go over the top of the pile and gets the ball knocked loose and recovered, 98-yard fumble recovery, return for a touchdown, 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and then the Bengals go on to win, and that's against a backup starting quarterback. I get it. But the Bengals have real injury concerns at this point. They have a five-man combination. Remember how bad the offensive line was last year? Joe Burrow's getting sacked 1,000 times a game in the playoffs and winning anyway. But this year, they had their five-man offensive line had the second most regular season snaps together of any offensive line combination in the NFL. Only the Steelers' offensive line played more together. And now, all of a sudden, they lost three guys of those five. Three guys in the last 4 weeks. Key, I imagine that's going to make a big difference. And they did give up four sacks last night against the Ravens.
Yeah, it can make a difference going, you know, as you continue to go on. Look, you got coming up, you got the Bills clearly, and their offensive line is going to be important to be able to protect him up in Buffalo. And then if you are lucky enough to move on, those other two defensive lines in Jacksonville or Kansas City can certainly create some heat and some havoc for you. They get the ball out quick, though. And that's the thing of Cincinnati and Zach Taylor and company is that they understand, as you saw against the Ravens, that they got the ball out fast. They really didn't push the ball down the field. It was a lot of three-step, quick five-step and a hitch. You get the ball out fast because they couldn't protect him up front the way they wanted to. So it didn't allow them to take deeper drops. It'll be interesting to see throughout the course of the week, though, what their protection scheme looks like going up against Buffalo and what they're able to, you know, design and come up with. But offensive line is extremely important come playoff time, especially as the weather starts to change and you got to push forward and run the football.
You know, Keo, over the weekend I was watching a clip on NFL Live where they were talking about Joe Burrow gets the ball out within 2.5 seconds of the snap. Mm-hmm. Like, that's insane.
Tom Brady.
Like, that's insane to me. Like,
that's the thing that Brady always
did. The ability to make reads that quickly makes it so difficult to get to him. But even with your O-line, you know, being somewhat, you know, plagued by injuries to a degree, like, a guy's ability to see the field, to go through his progressions that quickly, to make plays, it just keeps the ball moving, keeps the chains.
He's got to know pre-snap exactly where he's going, right? And then if you have to change something, okay, but he has a very good idea of what's going on in any given moment. The Bengals allowed four sacks to the Ravens last night, okay? So they have a 9-game win streak now, including the playoffs. But during that win streak, I don't think it's coincidental. They had 13 sacks over their first two games this season. They lost a couple of close ones early in the season. They've only given up 14 sacks over their final eight games. So about the same number of sacks in four times the number of games because of what I mentioned earlier. The offensive line, and generally this happens, offensive lines that play together get better as the season goes on because they get to know each other, right? Well, and they have continuity. But now with these injuries, guys, that's the most they've allowed, four sacks in a game, in this entire win streak. That does not bode well, Key, as you mentioned, against Buffalo.
Yeah, and what else is the secondary? They've got to get their secondary healthy and make sure those guys are healthy because they're getting ready to go up against Diggs and Davis and the emerging star now. And what's my guy here? The little guy who scored at the KMO, Beasley, Cole Beasley and company, that they're going to be going up against them. So it's going to be important for the Eli Apples of the world and to get healthy, get back out on the field, because if they're not out there, it's going to be a field day pushing that ball in the air.
Now, the big thing is Alex Kappa. Will Alex Kappa be able to come back? I mean, that right guard for them is another big thing on that O-line.
Well, you got Kappa, you got Jonas Williams. Who?
Yeah. Al Collins.
Jonas, man. Oh, man, the play that he got hurt on, they pushed him in the backfield. I was like, wait a minute, man, you're 300-some pounds. How are you allowed a dude to do that to you?
Meantime, we've seen Joe Burrow succeed in the playoffs in spite of being sacked multiple times, so he gives them a chance, among other players that give them a chance, right? But they're moving on to Buffalo. We're going to deal with that throughout the week. The Ravens side of the conversation, on the other hand. Here is Marlon Humphreys, Ravens cornerback at the postgame presser, defending Lamar Jackson.
Speculation with him not having a contract, this, that, and the third, but, you know, I mean, I don't even know if I should say this, but he's like limping around the facility. That's kind of the crazy thing that people don't see, obviously. So, obviously, we knew he wasn't going to be able to be out there with us, but hopefully we sign him to a big-term deal, and he's, you know, he's a Raven with me forever.
I don't understand why people are questioning if Lamar could have played or not. I don't get that. The man say he has a swollen PCL and his knee is messed up. They say his teammates say he's hurt. Why is it that people are questioning his loyalty to stepping on the damn field?
So, Key,
it's crazy to me.
I know we had this conversation last week, and I didn't believe that he was going to play.
My damn nerves.
And this weekend, and it really bothered me because I love him as a player, and I love him as a person too. But when I heard Michael Vick on Fox while I was at the airport just say, you know, put a brace on it and play, I'm like, no. No, we just don't put a brace on it and play. And then RG3 promptly then tweeted out, you know, putting a brace on it when he was with the Redskins and he got hurt. And I don't believe you should jeopardize your own health for the sake of the team when you've already put things on the line and you felt like you haven't been rewarded with the contract that you feel like you deserve.
I agree with that.
So, I was all about Lamar doing whatever was in the best interest of Lamar Jackson.
But nobody else. But those
but
two things
can
coincide.
Putting on a brace on it, he can't put a brace on it. It's swollen. It has inflammation. The man said, I have inflammation in my knee. And it's a PCL. And it's this.
It's a PCL, Key, and it's not like he doesn't use that knee.
He gave an explanation of his injury. Why? And Michael Vick can say whatever he wants to say, and RG3 can say whatever he wants to say, but Lamar Jackson is his body and his legs, and he was the one who said, I can't go.
Meantime, J.K. Dobbins, Ravens running back, is not happy with that play on the goal line that resulted in the loss, where Huntley tries to jump over the top, with his usage. Listen to Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins.
I'm a guy that feels like if I'm on the field all the time, then I can help this team win. I wasn't, you know, and it's the playoffs. Why am I not out there all the time? I should be the guy. I'm tired of holding that back. I'm tired of that. It's the playoffs. I'm tired of holding that back. Let's go win the game. I'm tired of holding back on that. I'm tired of that.
Did you say that to anybody?
Yeah, I did. I'm tired of it. Like, I'm tired of it. Like, I'm a playmaker. I'm a guy that my teammates feed off me when I'm on the field. I should be out there all the time. You know what I'm saying? But that's just not the case how I go here.
Key, I don't mind a quarterback sneak, right? Like, or you try to get it. But that was kind of a boneheaded play by Huntley, really. The more you watch it, too. Trying to go over the top.
It's just not that play in the red zone. There were several plays in the red zone that was, you know, scratching your head. The plays that they were – it's like, wait a minute, man, why are you doing that? Instead of turning around, giving the ball to J.K. Dobbins on in the red zone now deep into at the goal line, they try several different plays and throwing the football. It just was a weird – it was a weird sequence of events when they got into the red zone. I did not understand. And I understand what Dobbins is saying. Hey, man, I'm here. I'm here for a reason. And I'm tired of this. And that's the way all running backs feel when coaches get cute, when they get down there, they start trying things instead of turning around to hand the ball. Pete Carroll learned that in the Super Bowl. Just turn around and hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch instead of trying to be cute.
Well, the thing is, you know, Pete Carroll had Russell Wilson, for whatever you want to say about that relationship, but by him being the franchise quarterback. And I think if you're J.K. Dobbins, you're pissed off about this because you're sitting there saying, wait, we don't have our franchise quarterback. If that's Lamar Jackson, you know, I'm probably salty, but I'm not saying nothing because that's Lamar Jackson. But it's Huntley right now. So if that's Huntley, I'm that dude. I'm that guy. And by the way, that comment makes it feel like it's way bigger than just this game. It feels like there's been a habit of them going away from J.K. Dobbins when Lamar's not.
I'm sure he feels a certain way, not just in this game. It's probably little things on certain down and distance and all that. And he, like he said, he should be out there.
I was talking to some football people for the weekend who are like, you know, people, all the receivers, I know they'll play with Lamar Jackson and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but that's what they say on Twitter. When it comes down to it, there's not actually a lot of interest in going to Baltimore. But let's leave Lamar Jackson out of this.
Well, people stop saying that.
Hold on. Let's leave Lamar Jackson out of it, because it is true. It does seem that skills position players, so-called skills position players, don't seem super happy there. Like, they want to leave. And so it's not so much about Lamar Jackson as it is maybe the philosophy, where it's all about the quarterback and the tight end, right? And maybe everyone else feels like, come on, man, it can't just be about the quarterback and the tight end, or we're not going to win. I think that's legit, Key. That's how I'd feel if I was a receiver or a running back.
Yeah, maybe. Just give me the damn ball.
You know, that's a catchy phrase. You should maybe think about doing something with that. Just give me the damn ball. I think you could maybe do something with that.
Maybe.
How much, just give me the damn money. How much money did Daniel Jones earn himself yesterday? Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Whenever I hear the word rebuild, like, you think, all right, what is that, a 2-3-4 year process? We just watched the Giants rebuild and get to the playoffs in year one of the Brian Daboll era. So it's doable as long as you have the right coaches that provide the right culture.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Need that. We need that Dave Chappelle line from Half Baked. I'm sorry, Samson. I'm sorry when Samson had the crossbow on him. We need that.
Who are you saying sorry to?
I need to say that to Daniel Jones.
Why?
Because I mocked him sometimes. At times, I do. He's my hero now.
And now he's your hero.
That's right, Daniel. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You know, Max blows like the wind, man.
Yeah.
Then you, Key, who does he owe? Maybe the Dolphins an apology, the way they played against the Bills?
How are you going to get an apology because you played well?
They barely lost without their starting quarterback on the road.
Ain't no damn apology. Apology for what?
He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, right?
What's that?
Daniel Jones is doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, no, but he was better than that, though. He wasn't just doing what he was supposed to do. He was practically perfect.
So, by the way,
Jay owes me an apology, though.
No. But maybe, like, so, like, David Cutcliffe, the head coach of Duke, Manning, the ones that tapped him as saying he has something special.
Saying I owe an apology to Gettleman?
We're ripping them for that, too. So do you want to go all the way back and apologize to them?
Yeah, for Gettleman, for
Gettleman,
identifying the
draft
guy.
Pick.
All right, yeah, Gettleman.
Saquon
I'm sorry about that. That's right.
All right, just saying.
Because eventually you of course you're going to draft some talented people up high. Eventually you might win a playoff game. It's 4 or 5 years later you win
one
playoff.
This dude, man.
Anyway, the Giants beat the Vikings. That's the important thing right now. Let's talk about what's really important. What did Daniel Jones just earn himself? Key, I said after week 4 or 5, man, if I'm the Giants right now, I'm hitting Daniel Jones up. Here's 3 years, 75. You said it's going to cost you 3 years, 90. Remember what I said when you said that? I said, deal.
No, that's not going to...
So ain't going to do it anymore. It ain't going to do it anymore.
He's probably going to average around 40.
Yep.
He'll average about 40, give him a four-year deal. A five-year deal with 4 years of real money.
Ooh, already,
averaging about 40 a year. That's probably what they're going to do, somewhere in that 38 to 40
before the
range.
Game, last week, Key, you said 3 years, 85 guaranteed, you're going to have to be in the mid-30s. Now you're up to 4 to 5 years, around 40 guaranteed.
Yeah.
So I would say that Daniel Jones, from that playoff game, probably earned himself, because Key's a pretty good barometer of this stuff, probably earned himself about $30 million yesterday.
Yeah, because he'll play well again this week against the Eagles. They may win or lose, I don't know. But he'll play well, and it clearly – look, man. Based on the way he's played this year, based on the way he played against Minnesota, there are no other quarterback options out there that's better than him.
Right. Especially
there
for this
it.
Group.
Derek Carr is not better than him right now with the age, this, and this. Tom Brady's not better than him. Well, Tom Brady wouldn't go there anyway, but Brady could potentially be available. That doesn't work for them. Who am I missing? Jimmy Garoppolo, banged up injuries. He's not better than him. Aaron Rodgers, they're not going to pursue Aaron Rodgers because they're not going to want to pay $150 million to Aaron Rodgers in a trade. And they're going to go, that's too expensive. Kirk Cousins, he just beat. Empty statistics, yep, as you like to say. Who else is out there?
But, and as a Giants fan, Jay, I'm good with Daniel Jones.
I'm sitting up here realistically thinking that he's the second best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, I think so.
Behind Jalen Hurts. I mean, it's not far off, and I get what the potential of Dak can be, and I get the bag that Dak got. I need to see it tonight. It's the first step in what this playoff run could mean. But, I mean,
I ain't ready to do that yet.
But Key, I mean, his QBR has been the highest QBR in the last month and a half of the NFL, and the way he creates plays with his feet gives him a different dynamic and dimension.
Here's the question about a quarterback.
To the table.
Does he read defenses? Yes, he does. Is he prepared? Is he a leader? Yep. Does he read defenses? Yep. Now, is he the greatest ever at going through? No, but he reads them well enough. Does he have a good arm? He does. It's strong. It's accurate. Can he run? Yes, he can. Is he afraid? No, he's not. And on top of everything else, he's dealt with the New York media. It's been brutal, right?
And he's cut back on his turnovers.
Never
Max.
Yeah, you, Max.
Time.
He's cut back on the turnovers.
And he doesn't
really
turn
thing.
The ball over.
Man, the dude
really
is good.
Thing.
He's good. He's really good. He's good.
So, Keith, what's wrong with my argument about him potentially being the second-best quarterback in the division?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I just said I'm not ready to go there yet.
Well, what makes you, without a doubt, definitively take Dak over Daniel Jones right now?
Well, I've seen him play well in a couple games, and Dak has a little more what do you call it, Jay? A little more
like a body, a bigger body of
work? Yeah, body of work. Yeah. I mean, he's got a more body
he's
of work.
He's been good for longer than Daniel. But, Daniel Jones just got
better.
He's been good for a while.
As of today, Key, who do you want on your team? Who would you want your starting
QB? I still would take Dak Prescott as of today.
That might change by tomorrow. We'll see.
By tonight.
The Giants have a long history.
He bet not go out there and lay an egg.
I hope he does.
If he go out there and lay an egg,
I'd be
very disappointed in him.
The Giants have a long history of good quarterbacks who play great when they need them to most. Phil Simms was a good quarterback who was great when they needed him to be great. Eli Manning, good quarterback, was great when they needed him to be great. Can Daniel Jones be the next in that line of good Giants quarterbacks who are great when they need him to be great, because that, in fact, makes you a great quarterback? Cowboys have the opposite problem. Cowboys have really good quarterbacks who somehow you don't trust in the biggest moments.
I don't know how you ain't trust Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman.
I'm not going to those guys. I'm going in the last 25 years, Key. Tony Romo, and now you got Dak Prescott.
You got to leave
they
Romo
were good
alone,
quarterbacks,
man.
But when you needed them most, they weren't Eli Manning, Phil Simms, and maybe not Daniel Jones.
A lot of stuff is luck and different things and stuff. Come on, man, stop.
A lot of luck, though.
Stop.
Luck is the residue.
The gum
of
on the helmet and the touchdown. Stop.
For some, Max.
What's that?
Residue of design for some, not for all.
Well,
if Rodney Harrison grabs the guy's arm and snatches it down, stop, though. It's luck.
It'd be
some
one
things
thing,
are luck.
See, it's like saying Tom Brady or Joe Burrow or someone like that gets luck, or Patrick Mahomes gets lucky a lot. The fact is, at a certain point,
you are lucky when you are surrounded around a bunch of damn good players,
yeah,
Max.
But that's not Daniel Jones exactly. And my point is, at a certain point, you go, okay, wait a minute. This dude got lucky in that moment. But don't forget, on his way to that Super Bowl, Eli went on the road and beat Romo. On the road to Green Bay in two different Super Bowl runs, beat Rodgers and Favre. On the road, and then the Super Bowl beat Brady. Like, so you can point, well, that was luck. That was luck. That was, man, that's a lot of luck.
Man, you got a lot of luck when you got NASCAR on the other side of the ball. When you got Michael Strahan and Tuck and Umar Yorick. Come on, man, stop.
Got a lot of
pieces. Let's keep it 100, Max. We get it. Eli was perfectly good in the playoff situation. Ice, veins, cold as I'd play with him in a heartbeat. But let's not act like he didn't have 52 other players.
But so does Dak Prescott have a lot of stuff. Dak has. My point is, and so did
now
Romo.
They do.
But
now the Cowboys got a lot of stuff.
Every single year, people say they got a lot of stuff.
Listen to me.
I do, but I promise you I can find you clips of saying Cowboys got a lot. Every year we say the same thing.
You taking the Bucks tonight?
Yep. I don't know.
Why that little internal smile?
I've been lying to you. I'm sorry. Samson, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Samson, I'm sorry. Put that crossbow
He's apologizing to Daniel Jones, kid.
That's right.
I was trying to think, who is that? What voice is that?
That was Dave Chappelle from Half-Baked. You never seen Half-Baked?
You never seen Half-Baked?
You've never seen Half-Baked?
Come on, Key.
What is it?
What?
It's Kibbles. Movie. It's Kibbles, son.
Yeah. You talking about his skit, that whole thing?
No. It's a movie, man. Half-Baked.
Oh, no. I never saw it.
You ever see the movie Clueless?
No. I know it, but I never watch it.
Ever see the movie Johnny Dangerously? All the same director, Amy Heckerling. She's very good.
Yeah, Clueless. Why would I want to watch Clueless?
Because it's really good.
Half-Baked is way more down his alleyway than Clueless.
Yeah, but I'm just curious. I'm just naming movies.
But if he hasn't seen Half-Baked,
seen
he definitely hasn't
whatever.
Seen Clueless.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen Half-Baked.
Well,
it sounds like some illegal activity.
Well,
Baked.
It's legal now.
That's what I'm saying, but it sounds like some of that, you know, the stuff that has a certain
Will tonight smell.
Be
the last time we see Tom Brady in a Bucks uniform? Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are joined now by ESPN Bucks reporter Jenna Lane. Morning, Jenna.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Good to talk to you. How much pressure are the Bucks feeling heading into this home game?
I think there's been a greater sense of urgency, but that's really been the last 4 weeks just to get here and to finish 8-9. That's what Coach Todd Bowles said. It's really been about the last 4 weeks. But as far as pressure, it's Tom Brady's team. They adore him. They know this could be his last ride, and this could be his last ride with them. He could move on to another team after this. He's not under contract after the season, and that would effectively close their Super Bowl window. But I think the Cowboys, honestly, might be feeling more pressure because of last week's performance against the Commanders, their road playoff history, the record against Brady, and they've lost to this Bucs team now the last 2 years, the last two times they've played him. So, but you know, there's pressure that just comes with playing with Tom Brady anyway. I mean, most guys will tell you that. They don't want to let him down. And look, when he got here in 2020, they didn't know how much time he would have. They knew he was on a multi-year deal. But when you got a guy that's getting up there in age like that, you just want to go out there and you want to make the most of it.
Being around the facility and the guys and the coaches and whatnot, Jenny, what percentage do you put on Tom Brady playing for whoever next season?
I think he'll play somewhere next season. I think he's enjoying himself, and I also think that I was just talking to Clyde Christensen, their quarterback's coach, about this yesterday. In times of struggle, of personal struggle, we tend to pour ourselves into work. We tend to hold on to the things that are most familiar and comfortable for us. And for Tom, since he was in high school, that's been football. And so with all the challenging things that he's gone through this year personally, and Christensen was just praised him for his ability to compartmentalize that and work through that. You know, I think that's something he'll lean on. Now, the real question is whether or not that'll be in Tampa. And I don't even think Tom knows the answer to that. He's just been so focused on the task at hand. Says he doesn't want to take time to smell the roses, and he didn't want to get into reports linking him to other teams. And I get that, but you know, let's also not forget that the Dolphins were found to have had contact with him in December of last year. So my gut tells me this is not going to be his last game, but a real question will be, is it his last in Tampa? You know, GM Jason Light will make every effort to keep him, and you know, keep in mind he got 11 days during training camp to attend to his family. That's unprecedented for a quarterback in the NFL. This organization will bend over backwards to accommodate him, to give him what he wants in order to be successful. And the feeling in the building is getting this offensive line back to health, something they have not had all year, could go a long way to putting them back in position to contend next year. And I can also tell you, you know, he believes this is a special locker room. I know he genuinely cares for the guys he's playing with. He really enjoys playing with them, and they really enjoy playing with him as well.
And we enjoy talking to you. Jenna Lane, ESPN Bucs reporter, thank you very much.
Thank you. And likewise, Max. Likewise to all you guys.
I appreciate it. We appreciate it. That was Jenna Lane from Tampa. What about the lowdown in Dallas? Ed Werder, ESPN NFL reporter with us. Listen, this is the reason. This is the best thing about the Cowboys. The only good thing is I get to talk to Ed Werder every now and then. What's up, Ed?
Well, thanks for that, Max. So you didn't call the Cowboys lowdown, did you? You just said you wanted the lowdown? Is
only because
right?
I didn't think of it. Listen, how much pressure is on Dak in this one, Ed?
Well, I think he recognizes, you know, talking to him this week, that this is sort of a legacy game for him, that you know, he's 7 years into his career and still hasn't, you know, gotten beyond the divisional round of the playoffs. And so I think he fully recognizes the opportunity. I think, you know, he was asked about, do you still use last year and being the only division winner not to advance to the second round, to lose at home to the 49ers, is that still a motivating force for this team? And before really, you know, the question could be fully answered, he twice said, damn right. So I think his intensity level is up. His focus is up. Obviously, he recognizes he's got to play at a different level. He's got to eliminate the mistakes that have been so prevalent, so uncharacteristically prevalent, really throughout this entire season for him. 7 consecutive games with an interception, 5 games with multiple interceptions. The Cowboys aren't going to win if they turn the football over tonight against the Bucs. They're undefeated when they don't turn the ball over, but Dak Prescott's thrown interceptions in 7 straight games. Before this season, he'd never done it in more than 4 straight games.
Hey, Ed, I know from the years of listening to you that you get a really good and quick read on people, right? A high EQ, and I'm fascinated by this one because with Dan Quinn on the sideline, the natural question to ask is, you know, what is the pressure on Mike McCarthy? But we all know there's pressure on Mike McCarthy, right, to get a playoff win, to go deep this year. But with having Dan Quinn on the sideline and all the interest that he's got last year in the offseason, seeing how Jerry Jones committed to him, is there any kind of uneasiness or awkwardness because of that just looming over the top of the organization?
You know, it's a good question because it is a unique dynamic that we've seen it before with Jerry Jones, right? I mean, it happened with Wade Phillips and Jason Garrett 10 years ago. Wade was uncomfortable because he recognized Jason Garrett was going to be the next head coach of the Cowboys at some point. And I think Mike could certainly see that happening with Dan Quinn. And we don't know what Jerry did contractually to convince Dan Quinn to come back for this season. And Dan Quinn's already got an interview scheduled next week should the Cowboys lose with the Broncos again. But really, you know, Dan last year went to Mike during this period of time right after the season when he was, you know, being interviewed for all these head coaching positions. And he said, hey, if this is weird for you, I'll leave. And so for that reason, I don't think there's any kind of schism between the two. I don't think Mike McCarthy's looking over his shoulder at his own defensive coordinator. And I think Dan Quinn feels like, you know, he's got a big job ahead of him tonight in this game. You know, they've never beaten Tom Brady. He obviously lost a Super Bowl to Tom Brady that had Mars his career in the NFL, his record in the NFL. And so I think he's got to, you know, I think he'll be more creative tonight with Micah Parsons than they've been. You know, he's only had like 19 snaps anywhere other than on the defensive line in the last 8 weeks of the season. I think you're going to see a more dynamic approach to Tom Brady. And then the big thing is he's got to figure out a way to match up with all the receivers, especially in nickel defense. But I do not think there's any awkwardness between Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn. I think there was a potential for it last year, but the way the two of them handled it directly has resolved that potential issue.
If Dan Quinn's not the guy, and if they decide to part ways it away from Mike McCarthy, is there an opportunity for Sean Payton and for the Jerry Jones and the Jones family to surrender control finally?
Well, Sean Payton, as you know, is the most accomplished assistant coach who left the organization and went on to become a head coach with another franchise. And he has a great relationship with the Jones family. I know, having talked to Sean over the years, there were times he felt like he could have gotten the Cowboys head coaching job when he was in New Orleans had he wanted it. Now, first of all, I think the question is Jerry Jones going to be willing after two consecutive 12-win seasons to move on from Mike McCarthy? You know, Mike McCarthy's done a lot of good things. I think he's really created a sustainable program for winning at a high level, for giving this team a chance in the playoffs every year. I mean, they've overcome quite a bit of adversity as a coaching staff. They went 4-1 without Dak Prescott early in the year. They played almost the entire year without Tyron Smith, their Hall of Fame, you know, left tackle. So I think he's done a lot. He's played rookies. Tyler Smith at left tackle, first rookie left tackle ever to start week one for the Cowboys organization, and he's still at that position. Daron Bland led the team in interceptions as a fifth-round pick. So I think when you look at all the things Mike's done beyond winning 12 games, and yeah, it'd be horrible to win 12 games 2 years in a row and not win a single playoff game. And to do it when your opponent's the only team with a losing record in the NFL playoffs this year, as the Bucs are, it would be bad. But is Jerry Jones going to be willing to move on from Mike McCarthy and give up draft picks to compensate the New Orleans Saints for Sean Payton and then pay Sean Payton as potentially the highest coach in the NFL? You know, Jerry, I can tell you, has never believed, with very few exceptions, has he gone against this philosophy. He does not believe, when you're the Dallas Cowboys, that you have to pay a coach at the highest high end of the scale. He just doesn't think a coach is, quite honestly, that valuable.
Well, we could just hope that he keeps it up. Thank you, Ed Werder, ESPN NFL reporter extraordinaire. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Are we starting to get that same feeling? He was a sixth-round pick. Brock Purdy was dead last. Are we starting to get that same feeling from Brock Purdy? Key, he's on a team with a defense. He's not asked to do too much, all that stuff, but he just looks good doing it. It doesn't look like it's luck. It looks like he knows what he's doing.
Was it Brady's second year?
Was it his second year in
01? I think it was his second year. But that I understand what you're saying. Young, yeah. Hadn't Young. Played, inexperienced, the whole deal. But this is more to me like Kurt Warner than it is Tom Brady. Because you got Mr. Irrelevant, right? You put that in that situation. But Kurt Warner took over for Trent Green and didn't look back after that. Tom Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe, but then Drew Bledsoe came in and took the team to won the AFC Championship game and actually took them to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady didn't take them to the Super Bowl that year. They beat Pittsburgh. It was Drew Bledsoe. So it's more Kurt Warner-ish to me, but I understand the story behind it, and it smells like both of those guys for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Key would be a better historian of the game of football than I would be. But for me, whoever you're comparing it to, you got to think about the weapons you have around young talent. So when I look at Deebo Samuel, when I look at CMC, these guys have big play abilities, right? Mm-hmm. They can turn quick plays, Key. Like when you hit those guys for a little 5-yard slant route, like that turns into like a 40-yard gain. Because these guys, those tools, those are different weapons you have on the perimeter. That's different. And within the Kyle Shanahan offense, less is more. Like, those simple check down plays, man, like, that goes a long way, keeping it simple.
Interesting, though, because we hear.
Don't do anything you exactly, can't do Keith. Or shouldn't try to do, Max. Just stay nice and easy within yourself. Do what I need you to do. Don't get all trying to be Superman.
But it's interesting because we hear from people who know that, and including on this, on our air, that, you know, Shanahan looked at Josh Allen in Buffalo and thought, "What? I need me one of them. You know, I need one of those dudes." And so he drafts Trey Lance. And that's what Trey Lance is doing there. But maybe what he's realized over time, or maybe he hasn't, I don't know. But it seems to me as you get more information, you learn more stuff, that, you know what? If you can get a Josh Allen, great. They're not growing on trees. They're very hard to develop. And in the meantime, you can win just doing what this guy does. Who cares how you win? But Key, it seems like he looked at Garoppolo and thought, I need a little extra to get us over the top in the Super Bowl. Is Brock Purdy Garoppolo plus a little extra?
Man, he plays with a different type of swag, kind of makes – I don't know. He felt – you know, the first time he took over and he started playing, Max, first thing I said to you was – oh, he's here to stay.
Yeah, he looks good. Key said it right. Like, and I agree. Good. He did. He looked good right away.
And I just – you can – it's certain things. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's other people that played the game, that's been around it. You can look at a dude and you can tell when he's dropping back and he's hitting his back foot and he's ripping the ball. You can look at his eyes and his helmet. He doesn't look spook. All of those sort of things gives you the confidence that this kid here is going to be here and he's going to be a tough out. You can just tell. You can tell, man. I'm telling you.
You think Trey Lance gets the job back?
I personally, depending on how far Brock Purdy goes and what he does along the way, if he goes and he wins the Super Bowl, probably not really. I might keep Trey Lance around because I got him on the salary and you know, it's not a high salary.
If he makes it to the NFC Championship game and loses?
I mean, you still have to say right
I'm going to bring him back, obviously, but Trey Lance isn't going anywhere. So Trey Lance is not going anywhere for me, even if they win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. I think Kia depends upon how it looks. You know, it depends upon how it looks, because there, Trey Lance definitely has upside. Like, I'm not comparing Trey Lance and Brock Purdy to these two individuals. It just sometimes it leads into that question, though, about I asked the same question about Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert before. Like, Justin Herbert has more talent. Trey Lance has more talent. But sometimes you see certain players like, that dude just got that it.
It's a different kind of talent.
Right?
Like, talent
is harder to
measure.
Comes out in those moments. And yeah. I'm wondering, Brock Purdy, in those moments where he doesn't, because he's not as talented, maybe he is, but there's not a need where he feels like he needs to do more. He can just actually stay within himself because he doesn't have that extra gear type talent.
Keith, said about that. In Georgia, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
It's good.
Hey, Max, while you're giving out apologies, go ahead and give Shanahan an apology for all that. He can only win with Jimmy G.
Never said that.
Mr. Irrelevant.
I never said he can only win with Jimmy G. I said he only had one with Jimmy G.
Wait, hold on, Max.
It wasn't anti-Shanahan. It was pro-Garoppolo. But there's a big difference.
You got to be careful, y'all. Dennis, you got to be careful, Dennis. I mean, he catch you with semantics out here, you know?
Don't be anti-semantic, Jay.
That's not what Jay said.
This guy.
But Dennis, you know what you heard. You know what you heard.
I know what I heard.
Yeah, exactly. Don't let him do that.
I never went anti. I'm high on Shanahan. I always think Shanahan. I never said anything against Shanahan.
Okay,
what
so Max. So hold on, Max. Before you try to out-talk this dude, you said 49ers can't win without Jimmy Garoppolo.
Never said it.
That means Shanahan can't win. He's the head coach. No, oh, Max, stop.
What I was doing was highlighting Garoppolo's.
Max, own it.
How do I not own stuff? I apologize to Daniel Jones.
Why are you becoming so defensive?
Because I never went at Shanahan ever. What I was
you
doing
went
was
at the 49ers. That's Shanahan.
How good Garoppolo is.
Oh, God, Max, stop.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hand on the hip.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.